As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yo, how I work this shit?
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show podcast on The Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got a full squad today, folks. We got Trevon Edwards, we got Mo Dakhil, we got James Edwards III, and we got Jay King, and we've got...
Yeah, but...
Yo, how I work this shit?
New York strip steak?
Ooh! This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Everybody recording?
Yeah, buddy, just started. Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper, got Trevon Edwards, Mo Dakhil, and Jay King today. And guys, we have absolutely nothing going on in the NBA. I mean, not a trade, no Kevin Durant trade imminent, no Donovan Mitchell trade imminent, Kyrie Irving, no. We thought maybe Russell Westbrook was going to go to the Pacers and get bought out from Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, and it turns out that's not going to happen because the Lakers don't want to give him an extra draft pick, allegedly. Like, there is absolutely nothing going on.
Yo, how I work this shit?
I think the biggest news in our world is that I started testing negative for COVID finally after almost 2 weeks.
Yo, how I work this shit?
That is big news. Yeah, I'm still coughing constantly, but yeah, like that might be the biggest news. Caught it in Vegas at Summer League. It is a super spreader event. Like, no matter what they tell you, it is a super spreader event, even in 2022. Caught it, barely got home. What a miserable experience. But I thought for today, let's go around the horn real quick and just get one thought on Summer League, okay, from everybody. And whether I don't even really care what it was, okay? But I just, like, we didn't really get a chance. We haven't podcasted in a while. So let's just get one thought on Summer League. Mo, I'll go to you first. Give me just one thought from what you witnessed, what you experienced. It doesn't even have to be basketball related. But what was your one prevailing thought from Summer League?
Jay King is a terrible flopper. Watching him on the streets of Vegas flopping in front of random strangers trying to draw a charge. He's terrible, Zach. Like, he needs to go to the school of Marcus Smart. He's terrible.
It was.
We got to tell the people about that.
Yeah.
Jay. One night on a walk back to the Mandalay Bay, and I don't know where were we, like New York area. Like, so it's a bit of a trek, right? Yeah. For some reason, as we were starting out, Jay King was like, I'll take a charge on strangers. And so he just walked out to the sidewalk as people are walking, and he walks up to some dude. And did the guy even touch you?
The first one was definitely a flop. The second dude, he gave me the full stiff one.
Folks, there was a second dude.
They're about 10 minutes apart. The two charges. And so he did it the first time. And I'm like, all right, Jay's, you know, Jay's drunk. And then we keep walking back, and then he gets
I was just working on my game. I wasn't drinking.
All right. Sure.
It needs work.
Yeah. And then we get to that. What, there's like a bridge between, what is it, the Excalibur and New York, New York. And you got up there. And that was the better show, because you took the charge slash flopped on a blocking call from a total stranger who looked befuddled, like just looked absolutely confused at why this is happening at 3 a.m. And then you got up and you made the call. You threw a big old charge sign out there.
Yeah. I was getting my Kyle Lowry on out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
over into position.
It was an interesting decision. Yeah.
Well, it started because I was saying when I was young in Vegas, I did that one time. And now I'm old in Vegas.
Still doing it.
Still doing it.
Before we start recording, you said, I'm about to get married, and then I'll be a grown-up. And I just disagree.
I mean, you can grow up in different phases of your life.
You haven't hit past adolescence.
I mean, the second one was a clean charge, though. At least give me that.
Okay. Maybe someday we'll release the video to the public, but there is video of both of them.
We don't have to do that.
We don't have to do that, but it's fun to threaten it, isn't it?
It's fun to have that in the back
especially
pocket,
especially when it's on my phone. It's fun to threaten that footage right there. Jay, what is your one prevailing thought, observation, experience from Las Vegas Summer League?
The pavement is not a great place to take a charge. That would be my number one.
Dirty ass sidewalk? No, that's not the best spot.
I'm a Jalen Williams guy now. Lottery pick Jalen Williams.
Yeah. That's my favorite prospect on the Thunder.
I mean, that's a little aggressive.
He's the best one. Jalen Williams definitely can aggressive, play, man. He's good. He's really good.
Yeah, the Thunder had such a fun summer league team. To have Giddy and Jalen Williams and my guy Chet Holmgren,
Giddy should not
all
have been
on
the
same roster.
Giddy
that
should
was
not
like
played.
That was better than the team they put out at the end of last season.
Yeah, it sure was.
I walked away from it going like the Thunder might actually have a fun team next year.
Yeah, they won't be good, but they'll at least as long as they've got players out there, right?
As long as they let them play.
Yeah.
They're one of those teams that you think are fun and you're like excited to watch on League Pass until it's a month into the season and you realize that dreadful basketball is still basketball.
How the gall of you to say this when every day in the group chat you're saying
Non-stop.
Something about the Kings. You to have the gall to say this about the Thunder.
The Kings are ready.
For what?
for mediocrity. I mean,
all right. Trey. I don't want to do King's talk right now.
I get a minute, don't I?
When the season starts, you get a minute. You don't get a minute right now, okay? When the season starts, we're going to do King on the Kings every single week for 1 minute. I can't do it right now.
I can't just hype up Mike Brown for a little while?
No, you get to, in a month, you can do it. 1 month from now, end of August, when we record a podcast, you can hype up Mike Brown for 1 minute. So get it prepared. You got a month.
I'm just saying, Malik Monk coached by Mike Brown defensively is a problem.
I'm telling you, we're not doing the minute right now, and
We've already talked about the minute.
Yeah, this is not,
what are we doing?
I would like to move on to Trey. Trey, one prevailing thought, observation, experience, something from Summer League.
Man, dude, I will honestly want to say, I mean, you would think that the Kings are going to make the playoffs. I don't even want to dunk on the Kings. No, because that's not
everyone's going to do that in the regular season. So you don't have to do that.
I want positivity for the Sacramento Kings, but I will say that, the one takeaway from it was like, Summer League is too long.
It's really long, man. I was there for 4 days, and I felt like, man, this is a long time to be there. And it went on for another week.
You had extenuating circumstances.
Well, I also got COVID. Yeah,
you were there and then stuck in your room for a little bit. I don't know.
I was stuck in my room for a day, a full day, watching nothing but shitty Batman movies. Batman Returns, Batman Forever, Batman and Robin. Like, and then it was like Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I'm like, what is going on the Sci-Fi Network? And this is no shit. Like, I'm not joking here. This is really happening. So I tested negative in the hotel so I was like, oh, it's food poisoning, right? Because I was like, the way I was feeling everything, I couldn't keep anything down. I was like, this is food poisoning. But I felt like I had a fever. I was talking to myself out loud, and it was nonsense. Like, I mean, it was nonsense. And I knew it was nonsense in the time that I was talking out loud. But I couldn't stop, like, just talking out loud to myself.
Sounds pretty normal to me.
Yeah, but there wasn't a microphone in front of me, Jay. That was the weird part.
Harper can't stop talking out loud. Yeah, no shit.
But Trey, I'm with you. Summer League is long, man. I don't think it needs to be that long. I don't think we need every team. Let's be honest.
Summer League is better than All-Star Weekend.
Oh, yes. I like that.
And the reason why I say it's too long is because not only are these teams sitting their guys after a game or two, but when you're closing out in the championships and things of that nature, everyone's lost interest. You know, like those later days, I didn't even know it was still going on. Yeah. Because guys were sitting, and I understand it, you know, to evaluate talent and see if they can bring guys to camp. But yeah, I think this really only needs about 3 to 4 days tops.
I'm with you.
And the playoffs.
Those rings are disgusting, too. Those rings are such a bad idea.
The playoffs themselves are a bad idea.
Yeah.
Another Summer League observation. Like, we've gone too far in, first of all, sitting second year guys before their second year. And second of all, being like, oh, he's way too good for Summer League. He shouldn't play anymore. Like, Quentin Grimes can't benefit a little bit from like playing Summer League games.
Jalen Suggs doesn't think he needs to be playing. Jalen Suggs.
Austin Reeves. Like,
nah.
You're just not going to play in Summer League.
RJ Hampton.
RJ Hampton should not. I mean, sometimes having players like that play hurts them more than help.
Trey,
you know what I mean?
And Trey, you have no idea how annoying it was to stand next to Jay King during that first Summer League game of Magic Rockets, and he is tracking every rebound that RJ Hampton grabbed.
He had 11 of them things.
Six rebounds, seven rebounds. I mean, it was brutal. It was brutal.
Yeah, I mean, it's to a point now, right, where we sing high praise for a second-year guy or a third-year guy in there, and it's like, of course – they know they're on the team.
Yeah.
So they're going to take wild shots. They're going to be aggressive. They have a feel of how this league works. I don't think that you grow them that way. Maybe you have a mini camp or something. And then you send them about and let them do what they do. But having them play in that, I don't understand it.
Especially as televised as it is, right? Like, yeah, there's so much attention around it. Like, I'm with you. I do think there's the potential. Like, I don't know if this serves them well at all.
No, I disagree, though. Yeah. I disagree. These guys, like, first off, Giddy playing, he's getting valuable minutes with Chet.
He should not have played. He was just fucking around.
But even then, though, he's getting valuable reps with Chet. There are guys that can benefit from playing in a more controlled environment than they're going to play at pickup in the summertime and things like that. Like, I disagree. Like, the second-year guys are the guys I want to see the most at Summer League because they're the ones that have been through the year. They've got to show us what they're working on. And you're right, Trey. There are some teams where, like, a dude's going to come in here and just jack up shots. That's just a bad organization. That's an organization that's not developing guys who are working on
RJ Hampton's been around for 9 years, I feel
like. RJ Hampton's a different story. RJ Hampton's just not good.
And not to beat up on him, though, Mo, but I understand the chemistry aspect of it, and I'm trying to – it's a lose-lose regardless, right? Because they have to exist because they have to. You know what I mean? Like, you made a valid point about chemistry building. So, you know, Chet can get familiar with one of the guys that he's going to be playing many minutes with. But then you also got the guys like Cam Thomas, who's going to light that league up. He's a natural scorer, and he doesn't need to take all them shots. You know what I mean? Like, there's nobody else is getting that type of look.
But
you know,
Trey, we did get the moment of Cam Thomas kind of rolling his eyes with that question about Steve Nash.
Yeah,
that was pretty funny.
Yes. Yes, it gave us real Fred Hoiberg vibes.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Oh, that's a great call. It definitely was some Fred Hoiberg vibes.
And I feel like Summer League is also very valuable for guys to kind of expand their game a little bit. Do stuff that you're not necessarily going to get to do in a regular season and just try stuff. Like, I remember Jaylen Brown came back for his second year and he was very inefficient at Summer League, but he was being a playmaker, making plays off the bounce, like stuff he never tried as a rookie.
Yeah.
And so then years later, you see the benefits of that and giving him those reps and having him do it in a more controlled setting. You know, obviously the teams he was on when he was young, like he wasn't going to do a lot of that stuff. So stuff like that can be very valuable.
Speaking of Jaylen Brown, I know you've seen the aquatic training video, that was, right?
That was intense.
Why? Is that, that's, hey, why?
Hold on, I haven't like, seen this. Hold on.
I got it. Yeah, hold on.
I need Zach's right. initial reaction to this.
Aquatic video, Jaylen Brown. So this is Jaylen Brown's underwater workout is a sight to behold. All right, I'm on it. Let's play this. Let's hope the sound is off. Okay, so he's jumping with weights. He's doing a freestyle. He's just jumping with weights? Okay, I feel like I can do this. Is this really a... This can't really be a workout. What?
I mean, it looks like a workout. He's got weights. But how much do weights actually weigh underwater is what I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I know there was that story years ago about Kyle Korver like carrying rocks in the like floor of the ocean for a little bit.
Yeah, but I think that was like to find himself, right? Like he did a journey.
Find himself? What is he, like fucking Titanic? No. What do you mean find himself?
Wasn't that like a spiritual journey that he was trying to like go on?
Probably. I don't know. That feels racist to me. That when a white guy goes underwater, it's a spiritual journey. And when Jaylen Brown does it, it's a weird workout. I don't know if I accept that.
I want to say this though, right? That workout. When I see that type of rollout, I'm like, this dude is on an MVP season. But there's one person who has the keys to the Celtics. So I understand that he is getting better. But when I see that video, I see MVP. When they have those type of rollouts, I'm like, oh, he's about to have a year.
I mean, that video is not far away from when you just throw like rings into a pool and like have a child dive to the bottom and go get it, right? Like it's
one of the shots was him swimming. What are we doing?
Freestyle stroke, like, it's yeah, like all
oh, I do that, I'm still fat, like that doesn't matter. Like what are we talking about?
So I've got to bring it back to Kyle Korver.
Oh boy,
because I just did the research.
Here we go.
It's a Japanese ritual called masagi.
Massage.
It dates back to 8th century Japan. It originally described a mythical taboo journey to the underworld. And later in medieval Japan, the painful but purifying deeds of ascetics who would stand under waterfalls and chant for hours. Korver practices a decidedly modern version, which he described as once a year you do something that you're really not sure you can do. This is from a profile on him in The New Yorker. So I was right. It was a spiritual journey.
Look, I mean, more importantly, what's funnier is I wonder how many of our listeners hit play on this today and we're getting ready to hear about medieval Japan.
I just, no offense, because all that came from Jay, I just assume it's wrong. I don't know that anything you just read is accurate. I'll believe it if I hear it from Kyle Korver, but I'm going to consider the source here. I don't know about this.
It's a spiritual journey to redefine what's possible in your life.
My one takeaway was a story that Chauncey Billups told me and Amin Al-Hassan while we were doing NBA radio about Rasheed Wallace, where he said that there was one game Rasheed, you know, kind of loafing around, not really doing a whole lot, just kind of playing defense, not really doing anything on offense. And it's obviously well known that Sheed ups his game after he gets a technical foul. And so there's a foul called on Rasheed, and he's still on the Pistons at this point. Foul called on Rasheed, and he starts yelling at the referee, like, that's not a foul, this is bullshit, blah, blah, blah. Chauncey goes over to the ref and is like, you can't let him talk to you that way. Like, you gotta tee him up. Like, that's so disrespectful. You can't let Rasheed talk to you that way. And so Sheed says one more thing, and the ref tees him up, and then that gets Sheed going. And the next five possessions, Chauncey feeds him the ball in the post, and he scored on like four of them. And I just think that that is the quintessential Rasheed Wallace story. I love Rasheed Wallace. He's so great.
Legend.
Amin also told a story of like, it was Amari Stoudemire going against Rasheed Wallace, and Sheed is just like, mother bleep this, mother bleep that, like just talking how he talks during the game. And so Amari got called for a foul at some point in the game, and he's like, man, that's bullshit. And the ref tees him up. And he's like, what? She's been saying this and that and this and that. And the ref said, yeah, but that's just how she talks, which I think is a great, just a great rebuttal on that.
I will say swears hit differently from different people.
They do. They absolutely do. It's fair, like with Draymond Green, it's just like white noise at this point, right?
We're so accustomed to it. There's nothing you can do about it. It's like,
All right. There is nothing going on in the NBA. Okay. We're waiting for trades. They're not going to happen.
And as evident by the lecture of Japanese medieval purifications from
history
Jay.
Lesson from Jay King that is possibly questionable. So I just thought I would go through and read a couple of headlines that are on ESPN.com and NBA.com and just see if we have any thoughts on it. We can go in depth. We can just say, no, this is nothing. And then, you know, we'll wrap it up. So that's what we're going to do right now. This one, Trey, maybe you want to give some insight into it. Maybe you don't. But this first one is Kevin Durant's first post on TikTok is hilarious. So Kevin Durant has joined TikTok and it was basically just him looking off camera a little bit and like saying like, what is it? Like, how does this shit work? Or how do I do this shit or something like that? Right.
So Kevin is like all of us at that moment when you think about, especially us in our late 30s, early 40s or whatever. And you look at it and you find out, oh, this is the new thing that's going on.
Yeah.
Right? Because I remember Instagram. I'm like, all right, they're doing too much. This is a photo app. I don't take pictures. I don't get it. But eventually you grow into the app or whatever, right?
Right.
But for that to be Kevin's first TikTok, I think it's funny as fuck. But then it also just goes viral, you know, off of just relatability. But then also he's been quiet all summer. You know what I mean? And for the first thing that he actually shows himself, you know, outside of the workout video that just came out with from via Boardroom, you look at it.
Was
that
he underwater
way.
In the workout video? I missed it.
He was not. He was,
if you're
he
not
was
underwater
not,
in the workout not, video, I'm not interested. This
he
summer.
Was he was working on a left hand floater.
But get out of here. Do it in the water.
I will say this.
Do it with rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't count, right? Yeah. So he follows me on this TikTok, right? Yeah. And I only have two posts on my TikTok. Like I normally just watch videos normally. And I wake up, and this is before I sent it to you guys, and I'm spammed.
Your shit blew up.
I'm spammed by NBA fans.
Yeah.
I didn't think that existed. Like I remember, I think, I don't know if Instagram does that or what account, maybe Twitter, where you get followed by somebody. And then everybody follows along.
Yeah, well, I think because of this is what I thought, because I noticed this before. I noticed this last night when I was doing radio before you sent that video today. Is I went and I was like, oh, I wonder how many followers he has now. Because when I read the article, it was like he's already got 67,000 followers, and now it's like 500 something or whatever, right? Or at least last I checked. And I saw that it was like following three people, so I was like, oh, I wonder who he follows. And that's when I saw that he followed you. And so I just wonder if people did the same thing that I did. It's like, oh, he follows three people. I wonder who Kevin Durant follows.
But to get the followers too is kind of crazy.
I guess that's a good conversion rate.
Because I have a video that I'm really happy. Like I'm just like sharing a random. I'm just kind of playing around with it. I compiled a video trying to learn how to use TikTok.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking in the comments and it's like, Katie.
They're roasting your ass. Like, you don't know Katie. Only, you don't know this guy.
Like I really wanted to like that attention, but yeah. It's crazy. The gravity. And I talked about this, I think on Twitter about how players have gravity, right? LeBron playing in Drew.
Yeah.
And how that gravity of how people respond to people. There are certain people that have that gravity. All NBA players don't have this type of gravity.
Right.
Like this man just made a TikTok saying, yo, how do I do this shit? And now has probably 65, whatever number you said.
Yeah.
You know, of followers off that one thing. That's gravity. To draw that. And then for the people who he follows also gets some of that gravity. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's legitimately nuts.
I mean, my advice is if I'm a rookie, if I'm someone trying to get all-star votes, we remember Chris Bosh doing the YouTube trailers and
Chris Bosh was so good at the internet. We didn't appreciate it.
He, Yeah, he was really good at the internet.
Ahead of his time.
I think, though, this is the best time to push that to another level.
Yeah.
When you want to campaign to All-Star. Because now you're making it into the algorithm is being fed to everyone.
Right.
So whether you're being funny, whether you're showing your workouts, people will know your name or your face because of TikTok. And I think that should be the new way of marketing, especially if I'm a rookie and I'm new to a city. I would do little stuff like, hey, what's the best food? Trying out local businesses. Not only are you going to get an endorsement, but people around the state is going to get familiar with you.
Now, this is different than that guy trying to send his resume to Kevin Durant and him saying, beat it, kid.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That was great. We're going to get you a dog.
That was awesome.
What?
Yeah, now I got to take care of a dog? Like, what? Like,
wait, what? That's part of my marketing profile?
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, as of this recording, Kevin Durant has 602,000 followers and almost 8 million views on that one TikTok.
As of this recording, I think I have 12.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a
TikTok. Trey,
I just watch. Like, I think I've made one dumb video and other than that, I just watch. Like, I mean, this morning I woke up at like 8 o'clock and then all of a sudden it was 9:30 and I've just been on TikTok the whole time. You just lose time on that app.
I just like watching it. The animal videos are great.
Yeah.
I'm so old because I can't do TikTok, man.
You can't watch videos? No,
I can't do TikTok. I just can't bring myself to do it.
Keep taking charges in the street. You're fine.
All right.
You're fine.
Next.
Hey, I love how somebody who calls himself the God is too cool for TikTok.
It's not he's too cool for TikTok. It's that he's too lazy and scared of it.
No, I'm too old. I'm too old for TikTok.
I'm older than you are.
I'm older than you, Jay.
All three of us are on this podcast. We're all on TikTok. You don't have to make videos. You just watch them. I watch so many like cooking reaction videos. It's great.
Yeah, I'm cool without that.
At Chef Reactions, man. That guy's funny.
All right. When the athletics start making you do record labels.
Yovan's been doing all these day in the life of, covering the Lakers and those things hit.
There's only so much bandwidth you can have for social media, though. Like,
I've almost exclusively cut out Twitter. Like, I'm on Twitter like twice a day and that's it. And now I just moved to TikTok just to watch. Twitter's accessible. You got to get on Twitter.
I can't get rid of Twitter because Twitter's like a news source. Twitter is
where
I share stories. I feel like Twitter's important. TikTok's not important for my line of work. At least, right? Like, I'm sure I could tap into it and use it.
Jaylen Brown starts making all these underwater videos. You're gonna have to tap in.
I can't wait for Jay's underwater video. Jay mimicking Jaylen Brown's workout. I can't wait for that one on TikTok.
Oh, maybe I will do that.
Oh, actually, I'm here for this. Yeah,
let's go.
All right, next headline. Trae Young, John Collins, show out of the Drew League. Do we care? Just cool highlights.
I mean, we don't care, but LeBron got to work on some stuff.
He does have to work on some stuff.
Falling out in the Drew is crazy.
It's maybe why the Hawks want to trade him, right? Like,
the Hawks are probably like, shit, there goes his trade value.
Yeah, like, all right. I mean, LeBron and DeMar barely won that game, right? Barely won that game. And now John Collins is fouling out. Shout out to the Drew League. Great competition. Drew League's always a good time.
They're starting to show those games on League Pass now, I think.
Are they? Wow.
I thought I got a notification about that.
Okay. There you go.
Good for them.
Report. Suns Monty Williams agrees to contract extension. I don't think we have any details of the contract extension, but he got one.
He deserves one more year.
Like, who knows? Like, is it 1 year? Is it 5 years?
So the report was a long-term contract extension.
Okay.
Had 2 years left on his original 5-year deal. But the wording from ESPN was, and now moves under contract for several more seasons. I don't know what that means.
Probably 3 more.
But he's good. I mean, unless you're DeAndre Ayton, he's good.
Yeah, DeAndre Ayton's like, shit.
DeAndre Ayton's probably pissed. Like, I'm requesting a trade a year from now.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone?
Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, so we got that. All right, what else do we have here? There's really nothing going on.
Do you guys think Ayton will hold hostility toward the organization
100%
for the way the Suns approach that?
I think he is, my guess, semi-educated guess, is he is expecting to be traded within the year.
I disagree, Zach. I think that they put everything behind him. I think he just watched everybody get paid. And the Suns just kind of was like, look, man, this is how the business works. No hard feelings. You know, we threw out this. We're letting you decide your value. You know what I mean? Versus us overpaying, if that's a case. And he still made a lot of money. You know what I mean?
But absolutely.
I think it was more so like, think about if we're all on this pod and you're watching all of us get extensions and you're like, well, look at my numbers. You know what I mean? Like, whatever, you know, right? Or I'm doing this, that, and for you, and everybody's getting paid, and you have to, like, keep this happy face on and high-five us while we're getting what we're due. And they finally turn to you and say, all right, this is what we got left for you. You know what I mean? It's hard, and I think it was just building up with the frustration of that and not knowing what his future may have led. You know what I mean? He had just had a child, you know, new father. And then
apparently
again, you're watching
video games. That was a storyline for some reason. Yeah. It was weird.
That's what I would
so
be
many
mad
things
about.
That thrown at, yeah. Right?
That's what I'd be mad about. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to wrap this up. But realistically, it's mainly like, okay, I finally got my money. Because I think that was the uncertainty of like, what is happening? And, you know, they pulled him to the side and was like, look, this is it. We can give you the 4-year for this and we ain't got to eat the luxury. Because that's the thing. That's all it's boiling down to for Sarver's. Like,
oh, he's just being cheap. Yeah.
He is being cheap. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, he sweeps that under the rug. I think him and Monty figure it out. And, you know, because when you're mad, you're going to operate mad. You know what I mean? You're going to react to anything.
There was way more animosity. Maybe I'm pulling the wrong example here, but it makes me think of the Utah Jazz making Gordon Hayward go out and get an offer sheet, right? And he goes and gets an offer sheet from Charlotte. They're like, we don't think you're a max player. And Charlotte gives him a max offer sheet. And then they're like, okay, we'll match it. And then, this was years later, but years later, when it's like, hey, we think he's going to re-sign. And everyone's saying, nah, he's going to Boston. He's going to go play for Brad Stevens. And Gordon Hayward was always going to leave, partly because he wanted to go play in Boston and play for Brad. But also, like, it was kind of like you guys fucked me over last time in terms of, like, respect, right? Like, obviously he got the deal he wanted and everything. But it was like, you guys, like, were not supportive in that way. And I think that played into it. And I do think there is an element of that is going to linger with Ayton. Maybe a year is too aggressive in terms of him trying to get out of there. But I don't think this is just all right, finally got paid. Everything sweeps under the rug. Like, I do think there is going to be an element of looking for other places to go.
And they handled it poorly, too.
I mean, Sarver handled it poorly.
People around the NBA were wondering, what's wrong with this guy? Like, what is wrong with this guy that they're unwilling to commit to a former number one pick who has been really good
in the playoffs and questions about him.
That's what would bother me is that the way that the Suns handled it impacted the way that everyone viewed him. And that's what would piss me off is like they never went out and quieted that stuff. They just kind of let it build.
Yeah.
And you heard all sorts of stuff about, you know, what type of guy he was.
Competitor, and I think
it all stemmed from them not now, just treating him.
I will
like
say,
a number one pick
yeah.
who has produced the way he has, including in the playoffs yeah. in his career.
I will say to Trey's point, if there are going to be two guys that can mend this type of animosity, I do think James Jones and Monty Williams are the right guys to do it.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of with Trey, though. I think they'll be just fine. I think if they start out rocky, we'll hear Aiton rumble and things like that. If they start out well, I think it's kind of along those lines of, you know, I thought he was going to be brooding last year at the start of the season, and they started the season just fine, you know, and it kind of caught up to them in the end.
Yeah, like, it wasn't like he was just out for his own stats all season.
It's almost like...
Sure, but at the end, I mean, it was
yeah, but
bad.
Things were going badly, right? Like, so if things are going badly, he's going to go the way of the way the team's going. If they're going poorly,
sure.
He's going to be shitty. If they're rolling, and he has a pretty big role in that, I think he's going to be just fine. But I'm with you too. The way the league is now, I don't know what it's going to be like in 2 years, you know, like
yeah,
I can
you
see him getting shipped
so
out
much now. Like
it's guys get moved around so quickly and things like that. Like, it'll be interesting. I was more just shocked how slow the market moved on him. And I know some of that had to do with the KD stuff
yeah,
and things like that.
I hate restricted free agency. I get why it's there, and I don't have a better plan for it. I think that the offer sheet, you should have 3 hours to match.
That's right.
Well, I really think, like, you 10 know.
10 minutes, what, put them on the clock, NBA
know,
draft
yeah, exactly.
Style.
You know what the situation is.
I mean, the Suns basically matched by the time he finished signing
right.
the end on Aiton. And
right.
like, it's like match.
But part of the problem with the system is that you're tied up for, what, 48 hours?
Yeah.
Like, they have 48 hours to match and stuff. And some teams do not want to tie up that cap. So even Indiana was hesitant to tie that up. And it's like, there are no more free agents out there.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's why the restricted free agency kind of holds up. But remember, it used to be way worse. Wasn't it like
it was
10
like,
days?
Yeah, it was. I think it was a week or something like that. I think it was a week at one point, and then it was 72 hours. Now I think it's down to 48. But I just, man, I hate restricted free agency. I hate the process of it.
Yeah.
I just think it stalls out so easily.
Yeah, I'm with on that.
All right. Sources.
Oh,
James Harden, Philadelphia 76ers reached 2 year, $68.6 million deal. You guys surprised it was a 2 year deal?
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it: tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I'm not, because, you know, that's been kind of the thing, quote unquote, as guys been taking money, you know, making room, you know, I remember. Yeah.
But it also, guys real quick, the second year is a player option, so it could really just be a 1 year deal.
Yeah, it could be 1 year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's one of those trial runs where Philly creates a safety net for themselves.
They got a little bit of flexibility also, financially this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they can, and, you know, they can probably move him and do some other stuff if needed. Like if it doesn't work out, I mean, good for him taking a pay cut. I mean, he's made a ton in his career, so he has the luxury to do that. But I honestly think that with that player option, it just sets him up to get that max next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Have a big year this year.
Bounce back year. Mm-hmm. And think about, like, we had so many conversations about, man, are they going to give him a full max after what we see right now?
Yeah.
I'd be excited if I were Philadelphia about the prospect of him using this as like a prove it year.
Absolutely. Especially with the moves they made. Go get PJ Tucker, which I cannot believe he got a third year on that. That's just master negotiating.
He's 37 now. He's gonna be 40 at the end.
Yeah. That is unbelievable. So they go get PJ, they do the Daniel House reunion, which I like Daniel House. I think he's a nice role player. But I forgot that they traded for D'Anthony Melton. I apologize for this before, but when he got that deal from Memphis, I was like, what the fuck? And you guys were like, no, this is a good deal. And I was like, no, there's no, that's too much money for a guy that hasn't done anything. And he's good. And he's legitimately good. Yeah.
Right. I didn't want to say I told you so.
No, but man, you guys absolutely told me so. Because I was just so confused.
Trey, you have to. Because he's going to tell us the second he's going to, the first chance he gets.
All the time to tell you guys about all the times I was right, I'd never stop talking.
You still don't stop talking.
Yeah, I don't see what's changed.
What are we talking? My bigger question with the Harden deal is how much did Michael Rubin give him on the side? Like, how much equity does he have in Fanatics?
We need a couple of tampering investigations with this Michael Rubin thing in Philly, and then whatever the fuck happened with the Knicks and Jalen Brunson. Like, there is, if the Heat and the Bulls got popped last year for tampering, that should, like, they had talks with these guys at the trade deadline the year before. Like, hey, we need to know if we can resign, which you're allowed to do. And then instantly free agency starts. It's like Lonzo Ball to the Bulls and Kyle Lowry to the Heat. And they're like, all right, this is tampering. If that got tampering investigations and charges and penalties, what's going to happen here with the Knicks and with Philly?
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's got.
They got to trade those picks now before they get taken away in the tampering investigation.
All right, last thing I want to get to. This is something I saw on Instagram yesterday. So there was a post on Clutch Points on their Instagram account. It's a quote from Karl Anthony Towns. And this is courtesy of Jack Maloney. It says, no more excuses. It's championship or bust. It's go time. The Rudy trade happens. There's no more time. Got to go out there and get the job done. Again, Karl-Anthony Towns saying championship or bust time. What was interesting about that post to me is not the quote, but that Draymond Green commented with 11 laughing, crying emojis on the post.
That's great.
There was a time which Draymond Green was a big believer in Karl-Anthony Towns. After his rookie season, maybe after his second season. But there was a time where Draymond was like a big proponent of like, yo, this dude's got it, right? And we all thought that, right? Like, Carl was incredible as a young player. And then things just never quite progressed the way you hoped they would. And he just says stuff. And everyone, like, back then, it was, he would say stuff. And we're like, wow, he's so mature for a young guy. And he's saying all the right things. And now he says this stuff and people just roll their eyes around the league. But yeah, Draymond Green is not buying the championship or bust mentality coming off a title when compared to the Wolves.
Just get out of the first round. How about getting out of the first round or bust?
That's just a special response from Draymond, too. Just special.
It's fantastic,
And it's true. Like, you got a championship or bust? Like, calm down a little.
Rudy's never been out of the second round. The Wolves have only been out of the first round once as a franchise. that was in 2004. I do feel like that is upping the ante quite a bit. But, you know, the Wolves made this to raise the floor and raise the ceiling of that franchise. So, championship or bust, guys. Is that championship or bust every year, you think? Like they have to win a title this year? Or it's a bust?
Yeah, man, you can't use that term unless you've been to the finals.
Right. I mean, you really have to be knocking at the door. You were like, if the Suns were to come out and be like, look, it's championship or bust. Like, Chris Paul's getting up there. You know, we've got all these dudes.
I would
be like, you know what? I get it. Like, they were in the finals 2 years ago. This is one of the best teams in the league. Like, yes, they should have a championship or bust mentality.
The Wolves, they should They should start with making one or two good decisions per fourth quarter first. Like let's get to that
right
threshold before it's championship or bust.
I don't
Can
even
you stay on the floor.
Not even regular good decisions.
I don't even think Dallas has the right to say championship or bust. I think if Dallas said, I'd be like, even though they went to the conference, I'd be like, guys, calm the fuck down. Like, don't do this right now.
But they have more of a reason than Minnesota.
I know.
There,
that's
right?
Why, like, I'm saying. Even then, I'd be like, "Yo, you guys got to chill. Like, you've made a nice step forward, but you got to chill." And the Wolves, like, well, not. I'm saying the Wolves do. It's Carl.
Nothing's funnier than Towns saying that, and then considering the fact that they only won their play-in game because he fouled out. If he stayed in that game, they were going to lose.
Oh my god, they were getting torched. Also. I will admit there is a hypocrisy here, because if Anthony Edwards had said it, I'd be like, yep, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony Edwards could say just about anything, and I'm going to defend it.
Draymond would have put hundreds on there instead of crying emojis. There'd be 1,100s on there.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Basket Buds on the Athletic Podcast.
No Nathan Knight talk?
Oh,
no, none.
Sorry.
None.
John Krasinski let us know there's a partially guaranteed deal between the Wolves and Nathan Knight. Championship or bust indeed. That's going to do it. Make sure you subscribe to the Athletic NBA show. Make sure you subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure you check out everything. Make sure you subscribe to the Athletic. It's the best coverage of all the non-news happening in the NBA right now as we get ready for the J. King Kings Minute coming up 1 month from now. For Trey, for Mo, for Jay, I'm Zach. Keep it locked on the Athletic.